live from my man cave in Chesapeake, Virginia, this is MLS Gone Wild. I'm your host, Blake, here to bring you the latest news, rumors, opinions, analytics, interviews, and all things MLS and American soccer. Let's get it going.
Is this the Krusty Krab?
No, this is Patrick.
Hello and welcome to MLS Gone Wild, episode 101. This is your host, Blake. On this week's episode of MLS Gone Wild, I'm joined by former D3 men's soccer All-American, two-time Atlantic 10 men's soccer All-Conference honoree, and the 13th overall pick in the 2023 MLS Super Draft by way of East Hartford, Connecticut, Charlotte FC forward, Big Pat, Patrick Gajiman. Pat, welcome to MLS Gone Wild, man.
Hey, thank you for having me, man. I'm excited.
Of course, brother. So you guys are out at Coachella, right? Out in California. How are you living out there, man?
Yeah, it's good. It's nice. You know, Indio is a nice spot. It's very good views, and training out here is nice every day, and playing is fun. So it's good.
Yeah, playing is fun, especially when you win. You guys beat the LA Galaxy 3-0 to open up your guys' little tournament out in Coachella. What were your thoughts on that game?
Yeah, I think we stuck to the principles that we're learning, and it worked well. You know, LA Galaxy is a good team, of course, but I think we were able to press them and put them in a position they didn't want, and we were able to capitalize on the opportunities we had, so it was good.
Awesome. We'll talk more ball later on in the podcast, but we're going to keep it kind of light to open it up, right? So we'll stick to the preseason talk. So I hear you're pretty good at volleyball, Pat. You actually played in high school. And according to the team's TikTok, it looks like you guys played a bit of pool volleyball in your downtime. I'm assuming you dominated that game.
When the ball came to my areas, I did what I had to do. You know, it was pretty much a lot of us. So
I did what I needed. A lot of blocks, a lot of spikes.
Yeah, exactly.
Not much bumping or setting, I'm assuming.
Not much.
All right. So if you had to pick like two other guys to run a 3v3 tournament and pool volleyball, who would you pick?
I'll pick C. I'll pick let me think. I think Kylie was pretty good. And I'll probably grab Jay. Jay has some good serves. Oh, sorry. Jay has some good serves.
Okay. All right. I like that. That's good. So what's your favorite off field memory of the preseason so far? So like not training, not playing.
Favorite off season. I think when we went to the beach in Florida, we had like a little we played like foot tennis, and we were just in the ocean. It was just good vibes. Like the team was together. The views were beautiful, and it was just enjoyment, you know? So I think that's probably my top one so far.
Are you as good at foot tennis as you are at pool volleyball?
Foot tennis, man. I think honestly, I'm a little too tall for that. So
I had a feeling you were going to say that, Pat. All right, last one about preseason. A bunch of social media accounts from all the MLS teams were posting like their beep test winners. Just curious, who won the beep test for Charlotte FC?
We didn't run the exact beep test, but we did run a test. I think BB won.
Of course, Brant Bronico won a fitness test. Who would have thought? You know, BB13 is going to win. Whatever.
Yeah.
All right, let's get into some, you know, more fun stuff, not just preseason. So we're going to get to know you off the field a little bit. So first question here, Pat, what's your go-to dance move?
Go-to dance move. It's probably a Ghanaian dance. I like to do, it's called a zonto and a shaku. My celebration is kind of off the dance. Yeah. So
yeah, when you're answering the phone call there.
Yeah. That's all my celebration. That's all I got the celebration.
I mean, who are you talking to on the other line? That's not the Krusty Krab. Who is it?
They know who they are. They know.
Okay. All right. You just answering a call, man. I like that.
Yeah, just answering the call.
All right. So if you had to pick one song to play every time you entered a room for the rest of your life, what would it be? So like, think of this as your walkout song.
Walkout song. It has to be some Afrobeat Caribbean. There's a song called Widea by Cranium, and probably Yeah by Burna Boy.
Okay, I'm gonna have to check those two out.
Yeah.
All right, what's your best non-soccer related skill?
Best non-soccer related skill. Huh. I can sing a little bit, play a little piano, you know what I'm
Oh.
saying? Nothing crazy.
You can dance, you can sing, man. You got it all, brother.
Hey, I mean, I am a dancer too, you know. It's just if I need to be a background dancer, I can hold
All right.
it.
Keep that in mind if the soccer career doesn't work out, but it looks like it's going to. All
Of
right. So if you were on a road trip and you stopped at a gas station, what food or beverage would you get?
I'm getting Pringles,
What which kind? Just like original?
sour
Okay.
cream and onion. I'm getting Lifesavers, and I don't know what drink. Maybe like a Arizona.
That sounds good, man. I'm a Pringle guy too. I love chips, man. I could kill a whole bag of chips in one sitting.
That's bad. Me too.
It's really good.
That's
Yeah, like salt and vinegar, that's my go-to.
your go-to?
Yeah.
I got you. I
But
got
your
you.
sour cream and onion, that's great too.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. All right. Last one that's, kind of in this realm. If you were to write your own autobiography, what would you title it?
The journey of Patrick Adjiman
Mm.
and the ups and downs.
Wow, it is a journey. That's the perfect segue, Pat. That's great. All right, so you've
Yeah,
had such an incredible and unique journey, like you just said, to the pros that we're obviously going to take a deep dive into throughout the show. But let's take it back to where it all started for you. Why soccer? What made you fall in love with the beautiful game?
it was mainly like my dad. He brought me into the game. He was a former, he played goalie as well. So I was like, it was kind of in the family, but he didn't force me. And my brothers were big players as well. So it was always in the family. And I think when I started, I just kind of fell in love with it. And I just told myself, I want to keep doing it, keep enjoying it. And it just went from there. And the love never faded.
So why soccer over volleyball and track?
To
Were you just
be
better at
fair,
soccer?
yeah, I was honestly, I was pretty good at volleyball as well. But everything was kind of like a filler compared to soccer, if that makes sense. Like it was just for fun. And soccer was like, I want to just continue doing
Right. Okay. So continue what you did. Like you, Patrick, I also played Division III soccer. We all choose that route for different reasons, right? So why did you choose local D3 University, Eastern Kentucky, not Eastern Kentucky, Eastern Connecticut State University? My bad.
No, you're good. Yeah, so coming out of high school, I didn't have many offers, and I didn't really reach out to many people as well. So it was like whatever came to me, I kind of just told myself I'm gonna take it and go from there. So I had it was a small school in Connecticut, and then it was Eastern Connecticut. There's pretty much the two teams that were like we were interested in you, and I was like, yeah, I want to go to Eastern, talk to the coach, and I knew about the school, so I was like, I might as well go here if I can do my education and play, and that's where I'm gonna go. So it wasn't like I had a bunch of options. It was kind of like I want to start somewhere that's good for me and that's close to home.
Right, and you did start there, but did when you before you started there, did you have any idea that that was just going to be a stepping stone in your path to getting to Rhode Island and then even further?
I had no idea. I
Right, so
honestly had no
you
idea.
went there with the intentions of going for 4 years, pursuing,
Yeah.
being a student athlete, right?
Yeah.
So you talk about your lack of D1 offers. Did that motivate you or leave you feeling a little bit discouraged?
Oh, it motivated me 100%. I kind of went out, everything was like, I'm just here to show everybody what I can do. And I want to kind of have my own path, my own journey, like make my own journey compared to what it's the norm or what's set to be the norm, you know? So that was definitely what drove me throughout everything, even the ups and downs. It was like, you're here for a reason, you're doing this for a reason. Just continue to show everyone what you can do and everything will pay off. So it drove me every day.
Right. So, what did you take away from your 2 years at ECSU, both on the field and just in life in general?
Yeah, honestly, the professionalism. The coach I had was very strict and like very hard on me. So I think without Eastern, I wouldn't have done as well as I did in Rhode Island because it was tough. Like I got all the late to meetings, the missing an assignment, all these little things that if I did it somewhere else, it could have been a big deal. Like he just was straightening me up. He's pretty much like my coach. I got
Right.
everything off the field and on the field and off the field. So he helped me a lot, and it kind of matured me into when I went to Rhode Island and moving from there.
You talk about Rhode Island. When you first transferred to Rhode Island, did the players that were already at URI, did they perceive you any differently because you were transferring in from a lower level team?
No, actually, I thought that, you know, it's one of those where you think they would, but they didn't. They welcomed me so quickly. They offered a hand. They said, if you need help with anything, like, we're here, and this and that. And when I started, even when I started training, like, they were just motivating me. They were so positive, and I was so grateful because I was very nervous that they wouldn't welcome me, you know, because new guy, peak of COVID, it's like, who, why are you coming here, you know, but they welcome me well, and I'm always grateful for them.
Yeah, I mean, game recognized game, right? They just realized you could ball. Right? They had to pay some respect.
I hope so.
So how did you end up at URI? You know, you talked about not really promoting yourself when you went from high school to D3. Once you had your success at the D3 college, did you start to promote yourself and advocate for yourself and send out some tape? Like, how did the move to URI come? Were there other, was there other interest from other universities as well?
Yeah, nah, it was very random. I didn't expect to go to Rhode Island. All of this happened in like maybe late November. So I'm already planning on the next semester for Eastern.
Right.
But I had a buddy. So when COVID hit, we trained the whole summer, and I had a buddy that's one of my best friends now. He played for Rhode Island at the time, and he told his coaches about me, but I had no idea. Like, I never asked him about it. He just told them about me and said, like, this kid could really help us. So he told me, and I was like, bro, this is crazy. Like, you sure? And he was like, bro, just trust me. And I told my team and everybody, I said, I'm just going to go into the transfer portal. You know, I was like, I'm going to go to transfer portal and then see what was going on. And then Rhode Island, like, offered me. So it was all in maybe a week or two time that before. And then I just left straight to Rhode Island.
So
crazy.
did you have to like go into the team as a walk-on? Was there like a tryout process for that?
No. I was just they just accepted me into the team. Like, once I got accepted to the school, grades were good and everything. It was just like, all right, you're on the team.
I was hoping you weren't leaving your D3 school and just hoping you were going to go to a D1 school and just walk into the team.
Nah.
You had a succession plan. That's good.
Yeah, exactly.
No, that's cool. All right, so your success at ECSU earned you a D3 All-American honors, a transfer to D1, University of Rhode Island, like we talked about, and eventually a first-round draft pick in the 2023 MLS Super Draft. Like we've kind of talked about, most D3 players' careers end when that final whistle blows their senior season. For those D3 players that have aspirations like you to play professionally, what advice would you give them?
I'll just say never give up, you know, like, keep your head down, keep going. If you have the dream, you have the vision, yeah, just stick with it, because a lot of people could say that you're not good enough or you won't make it, but at the end of the day, they're not you. So I think it just stick to whatever you feel is right and keep going with it.
That's good advice, Pat. So you've been able to adjust and find success at every new level in your career. Talk to me about your mindset, your motivation, and your mentality, and how those things have helped you level up during every step in your young career.
Yeah, it's just, you know, I wanted to do something different, especially with my family, and just show what I can do. And I always was driven with the soccer thing. It was always in my head. It's like, I want to be the best in everything I do, every level. So it was kind of like a crazy drive, I always say, but with the support, when you have a good support system as well, they back you in everything you do. It's just like, I can't give up now. That's how I kind of went at everything. And it's just, I feel the same way every day. So I think I'm just going to keep going as long as I can.
Yeah, keep leveling up, man. It doesn't look like you're going to stop anytime soon.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, so let's get into some Charlotte talk now, Pat. So your rookie season saw you record 4 goals across all competitions. That's just counting with Charlotte FC, not Crown Legacy. A number of those goals came from direct play, strength to hold off players, and then speed to pull away and finish with composure. Pat, describe your strengths and style of play and how those help you as a number 9 for Charlotte FC.
Yeah, I enjoy going in behind. I enjoy the foot race and 1v1s and stuff like that. But I just feel like that's what I grew up enjoying, you know? Like, I like beating players with speed and getting a shot off, you know? So I always try to use it to my strength. And, of course, I'm a bigger guy, so it's like I could play a little bully ball if I need to, you know, especially with the bigger center back. So I don't shy away from it. So it's something I like to do.
So what other strengths do you have on the pitch? And like, how do you fit in with your style of play into Charlotte's style of play?
Yeah, I think Charlotte's style of play is like they would want a nine that could hold the ball and that could spin off and run in behind and give an outlet. And I think I could, I'm good at giving an outlet and just wherever the ball is going, I'm going to try to work hard to get there or press for that spot and just win the ball and stuff like that. So it's just like a hard working play, but I try to just learn as much as possible because obviously there's a lot of things I need to still work on. And but I do still apply my strengths into it and it works out.
Right. So let's get into some of those improvements that you need to make going into year two, right? So you seem like a confident young man with plenty of belief in yourself, as you should. There also seems to be a sense of belief across the Charlotte fan base that you could be set for a breakout season, Pat. What areas of your game have you been focusing on to improve during this offseason and preseason? And what are you adding to your bag for your sophomore year as a pro?
I think the intensity, press intensity and just like change the speed and all these things. Being aware of like body positioning is like a big thing for me. It's just I want to be able to like apply myself in every opportunity I can and not take plays off, you know. So that's definitely something I'm working on. And just like the quick holding the ball, holding up the play and being a support for my teammates, especially when we're in trouble, you know, just being reliable. So I think that's the main thing I'm really working on. And hopefully everything else is like, I just apply it and show what I can do, you know?
Yeah. Do you have any personal goals set for this season?
Yeah, I always have personal goals, man. Always, always.
Well, what are they?
You know, I just want to make the fans happy. Okay. Just want to make the fans happy. I want the fans in the bank to be enjoying this year. And I want to be a part of it.
Hey, they love you, man. Keep scoring goals and they'll keep loving you.
Yeah, I'm trying my best, man.
Hey, but look, you're not the only number nine scoring goals for Charlotte FC, right? You got Enzo Capetti, or what I just learned was Cup of Tea is actually how you say his last name, replaced you in today's scrimmage and opened the scoring. What's it like competing with Enzo and how is he pushing you to be the best you can be?
Yeah, it's great. Like, I honestly think it's an ideal position for me and I believe for him as well. It's just being different players, but yet still competing for the same position. You know, it's like I learned from him and I learned from every striker that's been here just to see, take little things that they do so well and try to add it to my game, you know. And he's older too, so it's like I could always find the things that he does that's more experienced than what I'm used to doing, you know. So it's good. I enjoy it. I love a competition. I don't think it would be I don't think I'll push myself as much if I didn't have competition in the position, you know. So it's good. It just makes me better. So yeah, I like it.
Makes you uncomfortable, makes you want to keep getting better. That's great.
Exactly.
All right, so Charlotte FC entered the 2024 season with their third head coach in as many seasons. What have been the biggest changes or differences that you've noticed since Dean Smith took over for Christian Latanzio, both tactically and like personality-wise?
Yeah, I think it's different. I'm enjoying him a lot. He's very open to just talking to everybody in terms of like what individually needs to be done. And I think he's getting everybody together. It's like it feels very family orientated and it's just laughs, you know, but everything is always focused. We're focused on what exactly we need to do. We all know exactly what he wants and what he needs from us. So we just try to apply it, but I think it's good. It's been really good.
Personality wise, what's he like? Is he completely different from Latanzio?
he's jokes. He's a jokester too. Like he's funny. He's a funny guy. He's nice. Everyone could talk to him. I don't think anyone's really intimidated to talk to him. He just welcomes everybody. So yeah, he's definitely different, but he's cool. I like me. I like him.
What's the funniest thing he said or done since taking over?
Ha. He said a couple of things. I don't even have one in the top of my head, if I'm being honest.
Does he have any funny sayings or mannerisms or anything?
No, he just joke a lot with within the team. Like if someone says something funny or does something, like for example, in a training session, like someone falls over or something, like he would show a clip of it and then we just laugh. You know, it's like it's good banter, like just to have the morale high.
That's good. Yeah, keeps good vibes in the locker room. You guys need that.
Yeah.
Has your role or instructions as a striker changed in Dean Smith's system?
I think it's pretty much the same in terms of what every team would want in the striker is just like to be able to do the hold up and the runs in behind. But I do think he definitely wants me to apply myself more and just to work hard and learn as much as possible. Because of course, when you're here, you're just trying to learn and get your spot, you know.
Yeah, I mean, there's the other side of the ball too, Pat. There's the defensive side of the ball. Does he have anything that he wants you guys to do specifically, pressing, anything like that?
Yeah, of course. I think it's just make the team uncomfortable when they have the ball, and find the triggers and stuff like that. So we're working on that, and I think we're getting it well. It's showing. It's kind of coming together well. So slowly but surely.
Yeah, a little over 2 weeks until you guys, hopefully it's all together and then you guys are rolling right into the 2024 season. Speaking of the
Exactly.
season, what expectations are you guys setting for yourselves ahead of this year?
Yeah, we wanna show our game. We want to dominate as much as possible. We want to have a good year this year, especially at home. Like, when you play at home, you want it to be a fortress. So we want to definitely have that going this year.
I have to ask. I took it off the rundown, but I'm at that point mentally right now. So when you saw Karol Swiderski and Uzwiak get transferred out on European deadline day, mentally, what did that do to you as a young player? Did that shift your mindset? Like, okay, well now I have to step up a little bit, or okay, well we just lost two DPs. Like, what does that do for you, mentality wise, or your mindset?
Yeah, it's just I always think of it like the next man up. At the end of the day, like I'm here for a reason, and I want to show what I can do and play, and I wanna let people know I'm a reliable player, you know. So when you see stuff like that, it's just you can't really control it. Like what can I say and what can I do? It's just all right. What do I do next now? Like what can I do to be the guy or help the team, you know? So it's like nothing. I can't really say like I'm. Oh my gosh, no, it's just like this happens. This football, you know? So, yeah.
It's a business, man. But now it's time for you to level up again. We talk about you leveling up. It's time to
Exactly.
level up again, Pat.
Exactly. Exactly.
All right, Pat, this has been great. So before we get out of here, do you have any last words you want to share for Charlotte FC fans that are listening to this episode?
Yeah, it's just, we're hoping for a big year in 2024, and just we're hoping for a lot of smiles and celebrations and just smiles and celebrations all day. Like, that's it.
We
Don't say, you know
answering
how
the
it
phone all game, baby. All
is.
game, every
You
game. We
know how
answer the phone.
that
This
is.
ain't
You
the
know how
this
that
isn't the Krusty Krab.
is. No, this is Patrick.
Nah, this is Patrick.
Yeah, for sure, man. That's what we're going on today.
Awesome. Pat, thanks for hopping on MLS Gone Wild. Of
Appreciate it, man. Thank you for having me.
course. Listeners, thanks for tuning into episode 101 of MLS Gone Wild featuring Charlotte FC forward Patrick Agyeman. The 23-year-old has excelled at every level throughout his career, and he seems to be set to have a breakout season. Be sure to catch him in action over on MLS Season Pass on Apple TV. Charlotte FC kick off their season in just over 2 weeks as they are set to host New York City FC on Saturday, February 24th at 7:30 p.m. Until next time, guys, take care of yourselves and one another, and remember the name, Patrick Agyeman. Peace.